called Rocket from Russia. Every Tuesday, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m., Rocket from Russia is aired on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, or CITR.ca, anywhere where internet is paid for.
Good evening, you're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is The White Noise Show. That's a half hour of sketch comedy, and following it will be The White Noise After Show, hosted by myself and featuring special friend Connor Neckleput, who joins me in the studio now. How are you doing, Connor?
Yeah, doing well, Simon. How are you?
Not too bad. Getting towards the end of terms, things are getting a bit mental, but we still managed to pull a show out of our arse.
Mate,
didn't we?
You're always mental.
it's become a bit of my homeostasis, but it's okay. So, as just a quick reminder before the White Noise comedy does begin, you can keep up with us throughout the week on Twitter and Facebook. So please, if you do enjoy the show, like our page, let us know, because we'd appreciate it. That's at White Noise UBC, and that's our Twitter handle too, so you can follow us on Twitter.
Like our tweets.
We'll always be joining in the Twitter hashtag wars and stuff, so hopefully we can entertain you a little bit. And, you know, a bit of other typical Twitter stuff on there. And of course, we have the Best Of page, where we post clips from the show of what we think, or, you know, subjectively we decide are the best sketches, and we put up there for your listening pleasure throughout the week. So check that out. That's whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com. But without further ado, I think it's time for some White Noise. Warning: the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by podcasts, because your own conversations are boring. First up tonight is a commercial. New from the people who brought you Little Monster, the energy drink for children, and Bo Burnham Flex, the full body workout that makes you look like a twink. We now present the Jesus Cleanse. In just 2 weeks, you can lose all your guilt and 20 pounds. No sin is too small or large. Whether you swore at church or stabbed your grandma, we can help. Using our patented Vatican-approved formula, we turn misdeeds into vague memories. Using a mixture of holy water, lemon juice, maple syrup, cayenne pepper, and rehypnol, just watch as you melt away the pounds, the pain, and your prefrontal cortex. But don't believe us, believe our satisfied customers.
I couldn't believe it. I did the Jesus Cleanse and lost 10 sins. My adultery was completely gone.
It was like some sort of miracle. Not that I believe in that sort of thing.
I'd recommend it to friends, if I had any.
The Jesus Cleanse is available in Catholic and Protestant. The difference being, in the Protestant one, you can interpret the instructions however you like. And if you order today, we'll include a free pair of adult diapers, because you're going to need them.
Diapers to bed, because this girl I'm seeing is sort of into it. I really should probably switch psychologists. Next up tonight, it's family time.
Dad?
Yes, Billy?
There's something I gotta tell you.
It's alright. I already know you're gay.
What? No! That was one time! No, just listen.
Oh, okay. What is it?
So you know how Mum told you that you and her were my parents?
Yeah.
Well, she lied, Dad. I'm adopted.
What?
I'm adopted. Mum found me in a pram outside Safeways.
What do you mean, found you?
She said she saw me lying there with no one to look after me. for at least 5 minutes, so she rescued me by picking me up and running as fast as she could all the way home.
It did seem like a short pregnancy.
Yeah, 9 weeks is a short pregnancy.
I did think it was odd that you could walk at 3 months old. I was going to salute to science, but I couldn't find their number.
Are you going to be all right?
Yeah, I think so. Hang on. If you're adopted, and I didn't sign any paperwork, I could just leave. Billy?
Yeah?
I'm just going to pop down to the shops.
My dad tried to escape my mum, but she caught him and tightened his handcuffs. Next up tonight is some debating.
Good evening and welcome to Masturbation, where we ask the masses to debate the biggest issue facing America. Tonight, we are debating Clinton versus Sanders. Who should win the Democratic primary? We asked two supporters to battle it out to find our answer. We also tried to have Cruz versus Trump, but this is all we got out of our debaters.
You're stupid.
No, you're stupid.
No, you're stupid.
No, you're stupid.
No, you're stupid.
That went on for 2 hours until the Trump supporter shot the Cruz supporter. So, it's Clinton versus Sanders. And supporting Clinton, we have single mother of two and pantsuit enthusiast Sherry Darlin. And supporting Sanders, we have part-time sex therapist and part-time plumber David Harris. Good evening to both of you.
Hello, Neville.
Hi, Neville. So, David, what kind of plumber are you?
I specialize mainly in golden showers.
I bet they're expensive.
Well, all depends on how long they last.
And Sherry, what's it like being a pantsuit enthusiast?
A little tight in the crotch.
It's time for our first round, the quickfire round. You must argue quickly whilst the room is on fire. Go!
Sanders is the only one who's going to stand up to Wall Street.
Bernie is so old, he couldn't even find Wall Street. Hillary knows these guys. She's basically best friends with them, so they will definitely listen to her.
No, they won't, man. She owes them too much. She will be bending over for them.
Hillary hasn't been over for anyone since the Challenger blew up.
Well, she's going to do nothing about tuition fees. I mean, Bernie is going to make college free.
How? Which part of his dusty body is he going to pull that trick out of?
He's not. He's going to pull that out of Wall Street's ass.
Wall Street doesn't have an ass, moron. Wall Street is a fucking street.
I think we're getting a little off topic, guys. Let's rein it in.
Well, Clinton has experience in the top jobs.
Sanders has been in politics longer than Hillary has not been bending over.
Well, Hillary is going to bring down ISIS.
With what? With what? Her until now hidden military prowess?
She knows the right people.
Who? Rambo? The Expendables? Chuck Norris?
Just because she doesn't tell you her plan doesn't mean she doesn't have one.
Oh, give me a break. They're all as clueless as each other on foreign policy.
Well, Hillary will fix the gun laws.
So will Sanders.
Okay, but Hillary will fight for renewable energy.
So will Bernie.
But Hillary will stand up for women's health rights.
So will Sanders.
Oh, you know what? I'd be pretty stoked without a candidate, actually.
Yeah, me too. Now, can we get out of this room? My leg's on fire.
Well, there you have it, guys. Like any successful debate, we have concluded. Either candidate would be awesome for America, or at least a hell of a lot better than either of the car crashes coming out of the Republican ticket. Join us next time for more Masturbating.
I voted for Ron Paul last election because I believe everyone should have two first names. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back.
All right, Carl, I've got a plan.
Does it involve me taking my clothes off?
Of course it does. We're going to make our own porn.
I am not having sex with you.
No.
Neither am I filming you having sex with my mum. Again.
Oh, well, fine then. All right, let's go do some talent scouting.
Ooh, I'll get the binoculars. So how's this going to work?
Well, you know, porn is all about niches. So I was thinking we could do one called Sexy Squalor. It's hot girls in hovels.
You mean my mum's house?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, watch and learn, my young Padawan.
It's pronounced Carl.
Oh, shut up. Ooh, let's try her. Excuse me, madam. How about some cash to flash your gash?
Pardon?
Me and my associate are adult movie producers, and we would love to see you naked. Ow! That was a compliment. Fine. Let's try her. All right, darling. How much for a squeeze? Ow! You broke my tooth. Oh, that was the last good one. Ugh, back to pureeing food again. Ugh, one more go. One more go. Excuse me, darling. How would you like to earn some dough for being a hoe?
Sure. My rate is £200 an hour. No kissing.
How about a fiver and a bag of Skittles?
Oi! Those are my Skittles. No. It's £200.
Oh, never mind then.
Shit, Neil. Where are we going to find that kind of money?
Easy, Carl. You hold the camera. I'll go get your mum. That's almost as awkward as the time I walked in on my parents having sex with my geography teacher. I never did understand the point of parent-teacher conferences. Next up tonight, it's grad school time.
Good to see you, Jonathan. So have you decided what your topic's going to be for your thesis?
Yes, after much deliberation, I've decided to focus on Hitler's penis.
Pardon?
Well, clearly, based on his actions, he must have had a tiny cock.
Okay. But is this academically relevant?
Yeah, this explains everything.
Oh, I suppose.
No, don't suppose. Let's bloody find out. If he really did have a dick that small that he found it infuriating, then that explains everything.
What about all the dictators with regular-sized genitalia?
They don't exist. Why do you think they're called dictators? It's in the name.
Look, the university will not fund such aimless research.
More aimless than metaphysics?
Touché. But I can't possibly allow this to happen.
Why?
Because I wanted to do the micropenis research.
Well, can't we share?
No. There clearly isn't enough micropenis to go around.
What a terrible affliction, having to do metaphysics. Next up tonight, someone is at the doctor.
Come in.
Hello.
Take your clothes off, sit down.
Okay. But you don't know why I'm here yet.
Yes, it'll just make me more comfortable.
Oh, okay.
So, what's the problem?
Well, I've got this stomach pain all the time.
Probably a groin issue. Let me have a look.
No, it's definitely an abdomen problem.
Who's the doctor here?
No one. You're a naturopath.
Then why am I wearing this white coat?
I don't know, but that's a fur coat.
Yes, it's what the classy doctors are wearing now.
Right.
So, let's have a look at the groin.
Fine.
Yes, I see the problem. You need your prostate examined.
No, I don't. I've got a gut issue.
Guts? Butts? It's all the same thing.
Maybe I should see an actual doctor.
How dare you? I trained at the finest institute in all of Flint, Michigan. Hence why I specialise in lead poisoning.
But I don't have lead poisoning.
Did you drink the water in the waiting room?
Yes.
Well, then now you do.
This is getting ridiculous. I'm leaving.
Wait, wait. You haven't received your free gluteal tension exam.
What does that involve?
Well, you lie down and I apply a liberal amount of force to the buttock area using rapid motion.
So, a spanking? No thanks.
Oh, please. Being a naturopath is much easier with the stupid patients.
I once went to see a naturopath, but it turned out he was a psychopath. Nice guy, though. Next up tonight, someone's buying shit.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Dan's Insurance, where we cover everything except liability. How can I help you?
Hi there. I need some life insurance, please. For my wife.
Could I offer you a towel?
Sorry?
For the blood. You're dripping blood all over my desk.
No, I'm fine. But do you have an umbrella stand for my machete?
Yes, just over there by that quavering child. So, you want life insurance for your wife?
Yes, lots. The biggest you have.
Well, we would need to inspect her to check she's still alive.
Ooh, no can do. She's currently a bit tied up.
I see. Well, there is really nothing I can do until I see the body.
Look, I took time out from my busy day at the abattoir to come down here and get this policy.
Oh, you work at the abattoir.
Yes, in accounts.
Well, we still need to see your wife.
Fine. I'll bring her in first thing tomorrow. If I can remember where I left my shovel.
I could never kill my wife, because I'd have to get one first. Next up tonight, people are asking questions.
Liam, will you marry me?
What? No. Why would you want to do that?
Because we love each other.
No, that's why we still talk after we've finished having sex. Love has nothing to do with marriage.
What? Yes, it does. It's a symbol of our love.
It's a symbol of a system who used to incarcerate us for loving one another.
But that was then. This is now.
Yeah, tell that to the South.
Well, if you're going to wait for everyone to agree, you'll be waiting a long time, Liam.
Well, there is one other problem.
What's that?
I don't actually want to marry you.
Is hard, but then again, so am I, because I don't have a girlfriend. Next up tonight, it's time for UBC's student election.
Hey, remember me? I'm the guy you vaguely recognize from that time you saw me pass in the hallway. Well, I'm running for president of the AMS, and you should vote for me. Because it's not like you know any of the other candidates, except that sorority girl who ignored your awkward attempt to ask her out, so screw her! Well, not literally, because she doesn't like you. I'm the candidate who's going to get things done, with my almost negligible power. I'll get students the services they need! A microbrewery, a climbing wall, and two frozen yogurt places. Oh wait, UBC already has all that shit. But I'm sure we can come up with more frivolous spending, cause that's what government's for. So vote for me, because you don't recognize anyone else.
I once ran for president of my origami club, but we folded. Last up tonight, I look back at my first day at school.
Richard, are you smoking?
No.
I hope not. Grade 1 is a very important year for you. You have to be on top of your finger painting.
Nah, not really. My bird does it for me.
What bird?
Mrs. Thomas, lunch lady. Sort it out.
That's plagiarism, Richard. A very serious offence.
More serious than a lunch lady dating a 6-year-old.
No, but those are very separate issues.
All right, I'll do my own finger painting, but I draw the line at showering with the other kids. They keep making fun of my hairy ass.
I know how you feel. They make fun of mine, too.
Well, stop showering with the kids.
He never did stop showering with us. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput and Simon Welton.
Okay, alright, there you go. That was the White Noise Show. I hope you enjoyed that. Of course, coming up right away is the White Noise after show, so stay tuned for that. It's hosted by myself, Simon Welton, and of course, Connor Neckleput.
Actually, I think starring is more appropriate.
And so we are going to be doing our usual bit of dissecting some of the, what we'll call, issues that are raised in the show and some current events. And of course, if you want to interject with anything, you're more than welcome. If you've got a comment on the show or topics within the show, or you perhaps have a other thought that you'd like to bring to mind, just send them in to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com and you can get engaged with the show. We'll bring up those topics. If you want to say something about what you think about the show, or you want to insult us, I don't care. Just send it in and I'll have a look at it and we'll probably air it. So, you know, do your worst.
And like our tweets.
And like our tweets, because Connor takes that serious. All right, so Connor, what did you think of the show? Another duet for us.
I'm beginning to become concerned by the sudden sort of lack of diversity between our characters. I mean, there's some unique characters in there, but I'm beginning to get the impression a lot of them just sound the same.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think I think some of yours.
You're great. I'm shit.
I think some of mine are okay. Some of them blend. But this week I tried to make Neil a lot more different to Blackmore, because in the past they've been a little interchangeable.
Come on, Carl.
Yeah. So now I did it in more just like a London thing, but without the depth. Without the deepness.
How can Richard Blackmore be talking at the same time as Simon?
Yeah, you see, Connor can't do impressions, as you just
this
saw.
This is White Noise.
You sound like you need a shit. Yeah, he does eat a lot of pizza.
This is exactly what you sound like.
What are you trying to say?
I think I sound like I've smoked like for 40 years.
And are trying to take a rather large
taking a shit.
Excess.
It's all the McDonald's and cigarettes, but no.
All right, so we're going to
McDonald's, please give us free food.
We're going to play a song. Yeah, that's all we need, free McDonald's. That would
this show really just take off, yeah.
No, I think I'd die is probably what would end up happening.
No CPR.
Yeah, okay. Well, when you become a heart transplant surgeon, then I'll feel better about it.
I was gonna say, it doesn't really help with a bloated stomach.
Yeah. All right, so the first track we're going to play tonight is by Cusin, and this is Dumb Bitch. I hope you enjoy.
Come on. Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
There you go. That was S.A. Pa with...
I got it here.
You going to read it for us?
Yeah, it's... Le Portu Masqué de Rigueur.
Yeah, so that was the name of the song. Bit of cool, bit of Quebecois from there. I enjoyed that one. Right, so moving on, though, with the White Noise After Show. What we're going to do now is, as we always do, break down some things from the episode and some current events. So to start with tonight, my question to you, sir.
Me, sir.
Is... Ooh, suits you, sir. is if you were adopted, would you want to know? Any time today.
Well, no, I wait till I'm eight. No, I think it's a good question, though. I don't know. On the one hand, I feel like, you know, if your adoptive parents, you know, love you, if they give you everything that they can, they do as much as they can for you to grow you in an environment that's safe, secure, that allows you to prosper, then it shouldn't matter in a way.
Yeah, it becomes irrelevant then.
But nevertheless, that knowledge, you can't help but be curious about it, wonder about, try to chase it. Because, I mean, I think in the end, a lot of people, I mean, you just want to know the truth. You want to find out. It's a big mystery. Your life is essentially part of a big mystery. So, I mean, even if you found out, like, you know, that maybe they passed away in a car accident or something like that, or that, you know, that you just found in a basket outside the orphanage door or whatever, I still think that wouldn't put your mind at ease. You'd still feel like there's something else to your life that's unresolved. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think people should hide it, and sometimes it might be very obvious, depending on, like, racial or appearance factors, where things don't quite mix.
Yeah.
But I think you need to tell them. But it's tough because, yeah, what age is a child? Should you tell them from the very beginning, but then perhaps they'll always feel slightly alienated or slightly...
Well, that's the thing, yeah, because, like, if you told them at 18, like, that is going to kind of mess you up. Like, this is a true story. My dad, when he was 16... found out he was adopted by his dad. His mum was his real mum, but his dad was actually his stepdad, is what he found out. And he found out because they were getting divorced. And the way that my grandma broke the news to him was by simply saying, he was crying at the dinner table because he'd found out that they were getting divorced. And she said to him, "Don't cry about it. He's not your real dad anyway." Can you imagine getting it like that? Like, talk about just unsubtle communication. Like, phew.
Yeah,
like, that's harsh.
Gentle.
Like, cheer up, you miserable git. It's not even your real dad. What does it matter?
But, so, yeah, I wonder if that also, if there's any way to frame adoption and sort of guardian foster parents in the public arena, in the public sort of zeitgeist, in a way that's more normal. Because at the moment, it isn't normal. It's becoming more normalized to have step-parents or also have parents who are divorced.
Right.
But, like, at what point will it become just a very regular occurrence where people are either adopted or people, or at least perceived as such, that it's a very natural thing to adopt or to be adopted?
I mean, I think the answer is, well, I mean, it's very hard to say without having gone through the motions, but from what I understand from what people have researched and what, you know, is common knowledge of it, is that, yeah, being open and honest early on is your best answer, because then you don't have a traumatic experience as a teenager. It's more of just this curious, you know, it's a bit like if you grow up with two dads or two mums. If you've only ever known having two mums and it's been a loving and awesome environment, it isn't odd. So if you grow up knowing that you have biological parents and step parents or foster parents or adopted parents, and they are good people, then it isn't, there's no controversy to it. You know, if you find that out, at, you know, just basically as soon as you start talking about the, you know, two, three, four. I mean, I guess it's something you probably talk about once you go to school, maybe at the latest. But, you know, being open about it to as much as you can, you know, maybe the circumstances are difficult to understand or comprehend at that age that brought about the adoption. But just the simplicity of, we adopted you, because because I had friends who adopted, who, like, I had a friend who was from the Philippines in England, and he was like my first
Philippines in England, mate.
He lived in England with me, and we went to school from, like, elementary school there, and he was obviously quite aware that his white English parents weren't his real parents, and he had no issue with it. Whereas, yeah, like, you find out that as a teenager, like, that's horrendous.
Yeah,
so. Especially if you don't have a solid relationship with your adoptive parents. And everyone as a teenager has bumps with their relationship with their parents. So not finding it out sooner is probably very, very
obviously a better idea. Anyway.
So where do you think that the kind of the stereotype of the kind of like abusive like foster parent came into play? Because it does exist, right?
I think maybe there's a stereotype there, but it's a very obviously wrong one. I mean, because there's a lot of checks and balances to fostering and adopting children. It's a very hard process to go through, especially at full adoption. Especially in our country, it's very well regulated.
Our country,
Canada, the one we're broadcasting from. Mm. I've lived here 11 years. Fuck off! I can call.
Oh no, I'm saying that I'm not a very Canadian.
Well, you've lived. How long you lived here?
About 3 years.
So you can call your home for now. Like it's
Thanks for adopting me, guys.
Yeah, we are. I mean, yes, we're on Musqueam territory, and we respect that. But you know, we can call it our home as well. I think. I think that
took a loaded turn. I was really trying to say I'm English, but I mean.
Okay. All right, so our next question, this is Connor's question for tonight, is he wants to know, if you could belong to any ancient civilization, which would you belong to?
So yes, please text that in, tweet at us, Facebook at us.
Yeah, well, what's your answer, first off the bat?
I don't know, I think there's a lot of variety, and of course it's easy to idealize former civilizations. If you would actually be transported to one, I think very quickly you'd begin to realize what you'd lost in terms of basic amenities like toilets, like fresh, clean drinking water, like readily accessible food that's easy to cook, and that tastes good. I do fancy in many ways, you know, the glory and splendor of the Roman Empire, the Roman Republic. Mm. Of course, I mean, it's hard to say that and not sound imperialistic, but I mean, yeah, there was a lot that came out, a lot of innovation that came out of that. There's obviously monuments that are still around today. We herald it as a society that was far more egalitarian and well-organized than societies that followed it after its fall. The Renaissance as well, just because everything was so dynamic at the time. Everything was so up in the air. Things were changing. Mm. It's difficult to say, but I like those ones. What do you think?
Ancient Greece.
Ancient Greece?
Hands down. Yeah, I mean, think about it. You've got the feasts. You got, like, awesome weather because you're in ancient Greece. They did all right. I mean, they had all those feasts, so everything was going, pretty well for somebody.
Sounds like they're robbing people.
But they, you know, you have all the philosophy of Plato's Academy and Aristotle that came after it, and goodness knows what else knowledge was there that is lost because of like the destroying of Alexander the Great's libraries and you know what, you know, there's a wealth of knowledge that wasn't written down, it was oral, that was probably lost. So there's probably a lot that we don't comprehend today that was going on then.
But do you think that you would be appreciative of that at the time, or is that something like
I'm talking about going back as an observer from today.
Okay.
I see what you're saying though, but maybe not, but if I have the same personality and as I have now in essence, then
I mean, you don't wear a toga, mate, let's be honest.
But I just mean in terms of my interest, then I would probably be intrigued by that and the theater and the sport as well.
Would you join a phalanx? A phalanx. Would you join a phalanx?
What is that?
It's like the military formation. Shield wall, spears out.
No, I'm not going to be a warrior. I'm a thinker. You know, I'm not going to go out and.
It also depends on what part of society you belong to. If you were a landowner, you were by virtue a warrior. You had to be a warrior.
Yeah, I'm more down for just following Socrates down around like completely broke in the agoras.
All right, fair enough. Just
and
a tramp.
Yeah, just an intelligent tramp. I'm going
Simon the
it's
tramp.
Basically what I am now.
You've got the look nailed.
Oh, dude. My parents went down last week with my brother, and every time I, like, met them, he'd, like, laugh as I walk up. Because he'd be like, let's meet in, like, Gastown or Yale Town. So I look ridiculous Cole walking Harbour, around. And, you know, I'm just like, oh, piss off. Like.
But what do you think? Because, I think this question is obviously biased. Well, our answers are biased, at least.
Right.
Because we're probably naturally going to choose civilizations and societies that we've been taught about the most, which are almost certainly Western and European and Middle Eastern, societies. But you're pointing at me as if you want to make a point.
I just had a huge thought, which is there is another society that I would choose, which is very different to ours, which I would be fascinated to live among, which
Atlantis.
Is the Polynesian societies when they were sort of exploring the Pacific.
Yeah.
And they had like amazing abilities to sail across the ocean without compasses.
Yeah.
Using like, you know, 1,000-year
like
old
canoes and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't luck; it was like actually planned, and it was an amazing understanding of the landscape. Do you call it landscape if it's water? Because it's not land.
Yeah.
So you know the oceanscape
land cometh.
Understood the oceanscapes of the Pacific, and did amazing things, and got to live in beautiful places.
Yeah, I mean, think Fiji.
Palau,
Nauru, Polynesia, all those places.
Exactly. So that would be a great society to be part
that,
of.
That would actually. I think that's actually a really good point because that's one of those ones that you wouldn't
and
think about.
And you sail all
about
the
it.
Time.
Yeah, since you live in the sun, you develop skin cancer when you're young, but who cares? You're going to die young anyway. But you get to live on a beach, essentially, cracking up coconuts, drinking the milk out of them, swimming with dolphins. The water's
you don't need Wi-Fi blue. When you're in
no.
those sort of situations.
Yeah. Like. So that's actually a great point. I mean, you'd essentially have a sort of holiday life. I mean, you'd have to do work, no doubt. You have to contribute to society, but you'd have a very idyllic holiday lifestyle.
Yeah, and they were like, and they actually, that was a big competition, was between like groups of sailors where you would see who could go the furthest from the island and, you know, find new land. And like that was all embedded in the culture. So it would, you just live and breathe the ocean. And that would be fantastic.
And across the Pacific as well. I mean, that's dangerous. The Pacific is a vast and crazy ocean.
But interestingly, like because of the amount of small islands, there isn't that many times when you're not. When you're more than really like 100 miles from some land.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like it's actually, you can hop, and that's how they did it a lot of the time.
And it's funny because you aren't protected from like volcanic activity in, because there's a lot of volcanoes, right? That's the whole Ring of Fire. But obviously, Pompeii was also, the civilization we talked about earlier, was affected by similar volcanic activity that is... less, you wouldn't think about it as much, certainly not from our time. And back then, they may have had a very sacred relationship with volcanoes and the natural side of things. But certainly in Polynesia, in the Pacific, like those volcanoes and Krakatoa, and all those are really strong and important parts of the mythology. It's beautiful in a way.
Mountains are in a lot of cultures. Like the Incas have a lot of, they worship a lot of old Inca mythologies about worshipping the mountains.
Yeah, I mean, they lived on them.
And like they believe the weather's controlled by them. And
which actually is somewhat accurate in many ways.
Yeah, I mean, the Incas weren't daft. Yeah. I mean, the Incas built on the side of mountains these bricked off areas that when they first discovered them, they didn't know what they were for. What they were different levels of elevation sort of marked so that they could test soil and growing opportunities at different levels.
Yeah, so terraces
and they were basically doing full-fledged like agricultural research 4,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So they're not daft.
And they had the biggest empire, I think, until their time, or for their time at least. Not until, but for their time.
Chewing on the coca leaves probably didn't, probably helped them quite a bit. It's a bit like Wall Street in the 80s. They were all just chewing and like...
chewing on coca leaves.
Making a lot of money. Well, yeah, I mean, it's funny because people try and compare cocaine and chewing coca leaves, and it's not the same if you know how they make cocaine, which involves like gasoline, like all sorts of horrendous chemicals and concentrating, you know, lots of leaves into a small amount. Whereas if you just chew a couple of leaves, like it actually has health properties and all sorts of, it's part of their society for a reason. It serves a function and actually improves
You could argue that heroin's part of our society for a reason.
Because nobody is more productive on heroin. I don't think that's a known side effect.
What makes you more productive? It can make you more spiritual.
You can make that argument, as I say, for cocaine in Wall Street in the 80s, but you can't make it for heroin. I will not allow you to because it's bollocks. All right, next coming up is Teen. With All About Us.
Yeah. Does Discorder magazine summon Discord? Only the good kind. This month, we feature musicians and artists sifting through chaos to form distinct creative practices and personas. Flip through the pages of Discorder for Mass Marriage, Iceberg Ferg, Plazas, Phono Pony, the Jamie and Sarah Experience Project, and more. This month also features artwork by Aaron Moran, live show reviews of Julia Holter and Parquet Courts, and album reviews for You Say Party and Joe Past. We'd also like to thank our advertisers, Vancouver Theatre Sports, Vinyl Records, Rickshaw, Center for Digital Media, Dead Offensive Records, The Rio Theatre, Vinyl Records, LiveAnn.com, and AMS Events.
Alright, there you go. That was Carly Doe with Not a Songbird. Our next topic tonight is recently we had International Women's Day, and in November there is in fact also International Men's Day. So my question is, do we need such a thing?
Who decried these days?
Yeah, I always find that strange because it's not a national holiday, so it's not a government thing.
So it's like some dude or some organization or activist went like, "Yo, guys, listen up, got a plan. This random day of the year."
I mean, there's a lot out there now. Like, it feels like, you know, everything sort of has a day.
Well, it's funny. Isn't November in itself kind of like Man Month? Because that's when, like, Movember is.
Well, yeah, Movember, like, but that's prostate cancer awareness.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of other things get wrapped up. And I mean, that perhaps that also explains why International Man's Day is in November.
It could very well be connected.
So, I wonder how much, because it's not like, I mean, I guess what? So, in the United States, February is Black History Month. I don't know how many other states, nations have similar, like, sort of month-long appreciation traditions for minority groups or certain, I guess minorities, I suppose, or oppressed peoples. Is it just a North American phenomenon? Or?
That's the interesting thing about it, because you do have a lot of these are connected to raising awareness about certain topics or oppression, and that's why you have things like the Pride festivals, and I'm sure International Women's Day, that would have been something to do with its origins, will be about women's rights, where they're being oppressed in the world, and also trying to just sort of celebrate the some of the achievements and really show what women have to offer is probably the idea behind it. So what is the Men's Day thing about then? Because we, you know, that's the as the dialogue as is understood, is that we don't need that because, you know, they've dominated nearly all cultures for a long time.
But it's interesting if you think of the word feminism, a lot of people think, women's rights, women's thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of men might be reluctant to call themselves feminists. But it's more than that. We've talked about this plenty of times.
And it's about quality, absolutely. But I just don't think that the Men's Day is bringing anything in the sense of equality.
But there is a sense that the International Women's Day is great for women. But there isn't any kind of, Pride Day perhaps, maybe. But there isn't any, like, demasculated Men's Day or men who don't fit stereotypical models Day.
Yes, but we do have a very important one, which is mental health awareness. And that's the thing, we don't need gender in it because we can have non-gender ideas. Because mental health awareness is about men who, you know, in part, is about men who have depression and issues of mental health and don't get help, and that's all connected to the masculinity complex. So you don't have to maybe we should target it directly.
Maybe.
Because it's so enshrined in the culture in some sense, it may be difficult to look at it head on without seeming without just putting people off or sort of, how would you, unless you've got a better way of, forward to approach that subject? Because I think that is a huge part of feminism, is the idea of equalizing people so that we get rid of not just the stereotypes of femininity, but the stereotypes of masculinity as well, which means that men can have feelings and men don't have to put the whole burden of a family on them. It's an equal share and it's an equal responsibility. Because I mean, I'm sure that's in part why more men have heart attacks younger, and, you know, a lot of things like that is because they do take on a lot of stress because they feel they have to.
There should just be like an international Be Yourself Day. Just like, do what makes you happy. Like, be yourself, be proud that you are who you are. And like, don't let people oppress you. Just go out there and be like, world, I'm me, and that's what you got.
Except to get to the point where, world, I'm me, and I like to sit on the bus with one hand down my trousers. That's just who I am, world.
Hey,
take it or leave it.
Hey, he's probably, I'm assuming it's a he, probably victim of something. We should be understanding.
Cold balls, maybe?
No doubt.
Okay, we nearly are out of time because we're going to leave at midnight tonight. But I wanted to say one last thing before we go, which is I want to say a big thank you to everybody who donated to our fund drive this year.
Woo!
We had a great response. I was blown away by it. And I'm hugely, hugely thankful for everything that everybody's done And it's going to a great cause, of course, in supporting CITR's mission to bring good quality radio to you and a diverse and inclusive mindset. And that really does come through in the product that we deliver here. And you know, we're investing in the potential and the talent that is available in Canada and really producing something hopefully worth having. I'm really, really glad that
the world is better for this radio show than it was without it.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying not in the slightest bit talking specifically about what we do. I'm talking about a more general idea, because of course the money didn't come to us. It went to the radio station as a whole and will be invested by those in charge of the radio station. Thank you very much. We had prizes in there of people being guests on the show and people who will be mentioned as characters in upcoming episodes. And that will, of course, happen. But the details of all those people that are going to do that, I haven't received yet from the administrators. So as soon as I have all the information I need, I'll be contacting you guys and we'll be setting it up for you guys to come in. I'm very excited for that. Again, thank you so much for taking part. Any last words, Connor, before we head out tonight?
No, I'd like to echo your sentiments, Simon. I think it's great that people, you know, on their own free will, donated to via us to the radio station. It is important to make sure that young artists and creative minds have the ability to express themselves with the best tools available, with the best support available. So it really does mean a lot to us.